Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
I keep telling you people, stop buying RVs. Stop buying RVs. One of the most watched videos on my channel is called Don't Buy an RV. Don't buy an RV. I've had a lot of people who watch it and then write to me and go, Steve, I wish I'd seen it before I bought my RV. I said, well, you know, I do what I can. Problem is that people are still buying RVs. Now, I'm being a little tongue-in-cheek here. If you want to buy an RV, but do it with your eyes open, okay? Get educated, learn what you can, shop carefully, and understand what you're getting into. I get phone calls on an almost daily basis in the summertime from people who say, Steve, I bought an RV. It's a nightmare. I'm doing research now. Your name keeps popping up. I'm hoping you can help me. Problem is you've already bought the RV. It's a piece of junk. Not much I can do for you in most cases. People call from other states. They can't find an attorney in their state who handles RV cases. There's not a lot of attorneys who handle these cases because they're so difficult to pursue. So the RV industry is in a very, very good position legally because most states, lemon laws don't cover RVs. So you got to go after them under a breach of warranty or Magnus Moss theory, and that's more difficult. And they fight these cases tooth and nail. So I've heard horrific stories about people bought extremely expensive RVs and they got all kinds of problems. And the dealership's like, hey, it's an RV. What do you expect? And they'll actually tell you that the industry standard for quality is so low, you shouldn't have expected it to be like a car or a house, even though it costs more than either one of those. So some RVs do. So here's the thing. Several people sent me this, and it's a link to the most complained about RV models. This is from motorbiscuit.com, and Jordan Almenden wrote it. And the interesting thing is, I'm glancing at this, and it simply lists three different brands of RVs. It talks about major problems with RVs. But these could be any RV companies, because these, when I read this, it's like, oh yeah, this is just, I hear this story over and over again. But this article says the most complained about RV models. There are so many RV and camper models out there to choose from, whether you're researching to rent or buy an RV. And by the way, that's a great thing to do. Rent one before you buy one and see what you're going to get yourself into. But there are things you want to learn about the particular models you have an interest in. Consumer feedback can give you a lot of insight in terms of what it's really like on the other side. So these are the most complained about RV and camper models, according to MotorBiscuit.com and Jordan Almenden. During the 2008 financial crisis, RV brands were on the brink of disaster. The failing economy affected every industry in turn, and the RV market took a huge hit. RV and camper models from names as big as Winnebago were in trouble, according to Camper Smarts. Many RV brands and companies merged, and that's true. There's a couple big major players now. There are large conglomerate groups that own several brands. Looks, weight, and price began the new focus as RV and camper models began to emerge from those new joint production schemes. Because of the shift, some RV models began declining in quality. Some? Well, actually, most of them had already been so low in quality they didn't need to decline. If you're thinking you might want to rent or buy an RV, this list of the most complained about RV models may be a big help. So according to Camper Smarts, Thor Hurricane is one of the most complained about RV models, the Thor Hurricane. Low ratings are the norm for this drivable RV camper since day one. Thor allegedly pieces things together with refurbished parts, which can mean new RV models are coming out with wear and tear on parts but advertised as new. Additionally, the Thor Hurricane has faulty parking brakes. This issue is bad enough to warrant a recall. So the piping often has to be reconfigured so as not to burn the storage tanks. Another problem. According to Mr. RV, who also reported that consumers complain about these RV and camper models being built from repurposed parts, this model won't last long. Though the Thor Hurricane hasn't been around long, it's already earned a bad reputation. You may want to think before you rent or buy a Hurricane RV. And again, these are complaints I hear about all brands, all makes, all models. Just Gulfstream RV. This RV made a good name for itself at one time. Over the years, however, quality control has gone by the wayside. Gulfstream RVs are some of the most complained about RV and camper models. According to both Camper Smarts and Mr. RV, Gulfstream is one to avoid. Apparently, models have issues with leaking and faulty door locks. Plus, people complain about customer service when dealing with the service department. Consumers aren't happy with the quality of their RV and camper models, nor do they receive good service or satisfaction when trying to deal with the issues that arise. A leaking Gulfstream with bad service in the line, if you try to get it repaired, isn't what you have in mind if you're thinking you may want to rent or buy an RV. In fact, getting out of the elements while still enjoying nature in a remote fashion away from people is typically what you want from an RV, and Gulfstream RV camper problems aren't worth it. So That's just mentioning two brands, okay? And the funny part is, like I said, that's all interchangeable. That could be anybody. That could be any brand out there. And now, I know people who say, Steve, somehow what you're saying cannot be true. It cannot possibly be true that an entire industry is messed up like that. How could that be possible? And it's a question that I've actually stopped to think about before, because I deal with people who buy cars, and I talk to people who buy boats, motorcycles, RVs, and other things. And how is it that cars are sold one way and serviced one way, and there's a lemon law that protects you if you buy a defective one, but RVs, just the missing lemon law, is that really it? That's a big part of it, but that's not the only part of it. So there are a couple of very, very large national dealers of RVs, and then a bunch of smaller dealers. But there's even regional dealers. There's a couple in Michigan, for instance, where they have four or five locations. Drive by and just look how many vehicles are on their lot. And they've got everything from the trailers that you pull behind something, to the fifth wheels, to the things that drive themselves, to things that are pushers, everything. They got everything on the lot, right? You've got 20 different brands. And they've got a big sales floor, they got a huge lot of inventory, and they got a service department in the back. And every single one of those manufacturers has a different service process. So when you buy an RV and you drive it off the lot and you discover it's got all kinds of problems, you call the manufacturer, they go take it back to the selling dealer. Take it back to the selling dealer, they go, oh, okay, take it to service, take it back to service. You take it back to service, and they go, what's the deal? And you say, I got all these things wrong with my RV. And they go, okay, put it in line, figuratively speaking, because they're backed up. They got 50 people ahead of you. You may say, wait. It can't be always true. Yeah, number one, it's always true. Number two, one of the problems is that each of the manufacturers has its own warranty process. So if you bring your Chevrolet into a Chevy dealer under warranty, a good technician can walk out and glance at it and go, yes, I can fix that. You'll have your car back in a very short period of time. And they know that Chevy's going to pay them, or General Motors, and they know that the repair is going to be covered, and they know that they can fix it, and they got the parts. The RV dealership, first thing they have to do is notify the factory and go, we've got one of your vehicles back, one of your RVs back. And depending on which manufacturer it is, I've heard of very, very convoluted processes where the people at the factory go, photograph each part and email us the photographs. Then somebody at the factory looks at each photograph on a computer screen and goes, okay, I think that can be fixed by buffing that out. I think you can replace that with parts you've got on hand. That part right there, you can yank off another one of the units that's on your lot, just put it on there, and we'll send you a replacement part for that, and we'll authorize so many hours to do the repairs. And they send that email back to the service place. The service writer looks at it and goes, okay, they just authorized 1 hour to do 6 hours worth of repairs. So they send an email back, and that's going to take 6 hours. So now there's an email battle going back and forth. It's got nothing to do with you. You're just sitting there twiddling your thumbs, waiting for them to call you and say your RV's ready. They haven't started on it yet. They can't start on it yet. The work hasn't been authorized yet. And so this little battle goes back and forth. I've heard of a situation before where somebody from the factory decided to drive up and take a look because they didn't believe what the person at the dealership was telling them. Person at the dealership said, hey, this thing right here is broken. Person at the factory is going, I can't see that in the pictures. Factory's in Indiana. Dealership's in Michigan. It's not that far of a drive. And it's also not uncommon that a vehicle will be sitting at a dealership in the service department for a while, and the manufacturer is going to say, wait, you think it's going to take 6 hours to fix? We can do it in one. And the dealership goes, we're not going to have one of our guys spend 6 hours fixing it if you're only going to pay us for one. Factory says, send the unit to us. Dealership calls up owner and says, hey, factory wants you to take your unit down to them in Indiana. So come here, pick your vehicle up because it runs. Drive it to Indiana. They'll fix it for you. Now you're driving your RV, which is defective, to another state for repairs. Happens all the time. Happens all the time. And again, I know people are saying, Steve, what do you mean by all the time? I used to handle a lot of RV cases. I don't anymore. I don't have time for it, unfortunately. But the bulk of my clients had, at one time or another, had to take their vehicle back to the manufacturer, back to the factory, to have work done on it. Because either the dealership said, we can't fix it, or they won't authorize us to fix it. Take your vehicle back to where it was built. Now, in my 29 plus years of practicing lemon law, not once have I had a client told, dealership can't fix your car. Take it back to the assembly line. Take it back to the factory that built it. It's never happened. Never happened. Okay? So the liaison, the actual connection between the manufacturer and the dealerships with the auto industry is much better. And part of the problem is that there's so many different manufacturers of RVs, even though many of them emerge, but they all operate differently. And because they all operate differently, every single RV that comes in goes through the process where they go, okay, it's this manufacturer. Here's how we've got to do this. We've got to document this, send a request. They send a thing back. They tell us they're either going to send us parts. They tell us to scavenge parts off other units in the lot. Or they're going to tell us that we got to like buff that out or straighten that out ourselves or whatever. And there's this dispute. And I had countless examples of cases where clients of mine said that a vehicle was sitting there and they would drive by and they'd see it. They actually go in and look. They'd see it and they go, why is my RV sitting there? Why is nobody working on it? And they go, oh, we're waiting for parts. We're waiting for the factory. We're waiting for something. There's something going on. And I've said before that one of the most deeply ingrained problems in the RV industry, and if somebody hired me and said, Steve, we're going to bring you in to save the RV industry, straighten the RV industry out, what would you do? I would actually tell the RV industry at every level to stop focusing on sales at the exclusion of service, so that when you go into a dealership to buy an RV, they treat you like royalty because they want your money. The second you buy the RV, you are off the radar. They're moved on to somebody else. When you bring the RV back for service, they treat you like they don't want to see you. They're sorry. Why'd you bring it to us? Take it someplace else. And it's shocking. And I've had people tell me before that they were walking through an RV and they spotted a problem with it. And the guy said, we'll sign the papers, we'll get you in the RV, then we'll fix it. Do I need to tell you this? Sign all the papers, they got the vehicle now, and they go, oh, take it back to service. Take it back to service. The guy goes, yeah, we got 15 RVs ahead of you. So I tell my clients, I go, why wouldn't you say either get me one that doesn't have the problem or fix it before I sign the papers? Because the salesman knows. He knew when you signed those papers, you were going to get in line behind 15 other people. He knew that. He wanted to make the sale. And so there are a lot of people out there. And again, I know people right now are watching saying, Steve, I've owned 3 RVs. I'm happy. Great. Great. You're an exception. I know many people out there who've bought an RV and will never do it again. Will never buy another RV again. Or if they do, they'll buy a used one. Which is what my advice to you is anyways. Buy when somebody else got the bugs out of it. They take the hit on the depreciation, buy a used one or rent one. But there are people out there who bought one RV, got burned, and will never do it again. And by the way, they tell everyone they know, don't buy an RV. Don't buy an RV. It's a catchy title to a video. So they focus on selling the RV. They do not focus on servicing the RV. And, you know, the weird part about it is that a lot of car dealerships will tell you, and I don't know how true this is, but I've heard this enough where I think there might be some truth to it, that they make a lot of money off of service. And you say, but, you know, the warranty repairs aren't that. Well, they make money doing other services too. Oil changes, tires, things of that nature. And they have their system set up to where they can make money off of service. So they treat people well in service for the most part. So could RV dealers make money off of service and perhaps change the way they think and perhaps treat people better when they bring vehicles back for service? I don't know. Industries evolve certain ways for certain reasons. One of the reasons that they've evolved this way is because the Magnuson-Moss Warranty Act is so difficult to enforce and the lack of lemon laws with respect to RVs in most states. So they know that, hey, you buy an RV, it's got a bunch of problems. Too bad. You can't sue us and win that easily. We don't care. That's part of the problem. A part of the problem also is the fact that all these different companies that have different standards on how the warranties work. I've spoken to people at every level of this, and I assure you that what I'm telling you is true. So that when your RV's got a bunch of little problems and the guy says, don't worry, take it out, use it for a week and bring it back, we'll fix it all, you're going to kiss it goodbye for a month. They're going to have it for a month to work out all those little things that you've spotted the first time you took it out. So if you know that going in and you buy an RV, that's great. Go in with your eyes open, understand what you're getting yourself into. And if you're happy with that, be happy with that. But when someone calls me and says, Steve, I'm calling you because I'm upset about my RV and I just watched your video, Don't Buy an RV. I know the person saw my video too late. Sorry. And I've said it before. It's like an emergency room doctor leaning over the table going, you shouldn't have gotten shot. Try not to get shot next time. Okay. Yeah, great advice, dude. Okay. I understand that. I understand that. So educate yourself. Understand this stuff. And if you think I'm pulling your leg, get a tent. Sleep in your car. But go to a state campground on any major holiday and walk around with a cup of coffee and talk to people who've got the RVs like the one that you want to buy and say, I'm just curious, can I talk to you about your RV? And people love to talk about their stuff. People doing their camping. Excuse me, do you like it? How's your experience been? Did you buy it new or used? You will learn a lot. Your eyes will be open. You'll realize, hey, that's Steve Leto guy. He's actually telling the truth. It's true. I got nothing against RVs. I got nothing against them, but I just know a lot about them. That's the point. So there you go. Okay, so people do complain a lot about certain RV models, but you just got to know what you're getting yourself into when you buy or rent. Questions or comments, put them below. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Don't let the noise of others' opinions drown out your own inner voice.